we can make it to Malachi chapter 2, if you can turn there with us. Amen. I think of my blessed Redeemer. Think of the price He paid for me. Oh my, redeemed. Not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood. Amen. With the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, boy. I don't know which way we ought to go. I don't know which way we're going to go, just tell you the truth. But I like it when it messes up the whole program. Amen. 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 All right. Oh, man. Malachi chapter 2. Yeah. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Jump down to verse 17 of chapter 3. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be back in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good move of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, for just reminding us where you've brought us from, and Lord, showing us where you're taking us to. And I word, I thank you, Lord, and praise you for the many blessings. Again, that you restore Pastor Shepherd, that you give him guidance and direction in the service tonight, and may the Holy Spirit of God have free course in every heart. And as was mentioned this morning by Pastor Shepherd right there at the end, there could be someone here that the Lord's working on, and I pray that they'll just allow the Lord just to continue to work.
Yes,
and
draw, Lord.
I pray that they'll yield to the Holy Spirit of God
yes,
to
Lord.
Be saved. Well, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you for the prayer. And you may be seated. Amen. Dealing with that time in the future when God brings judgment to the earth, and we see that He will first gather His jewels. Amen. Out of harm's way. Amen. He'll gather. By the way, in that judgment, everything in this earth, all the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Everything that has not been snatched away will be destroyed. And I'm glad that on that day, I will be in a place of safety. Amen? And I'm glad we can have that promise. And we do have that promise based on the Word of God. But even here in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 17, gives us the promise that God is going to reward those that have placed their faith in Him. He says again, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And I picture that as His protecting arm, as He gathers us in, as if to say the world can't hurt them anymore, the devil can't harm them anymore, amen, and the flesh can't haunt them anymore, amen, by the grace of God, gathered unto Him in His protecting power, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I mentioned earlier that there are three natural breaks in this verse, and we've looked at two of those already. We looked at the possession termed of the divine proprietorship. In other words, the statements made, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. God owns us. God announces that He owns us. Amen. God claims ownership to those purchased with His own blood. And then we said, secondly, there's the peculiar treasure of those deemed precious stones. And preached on that this morning. In that day when I make up my jewels. Amen. And we saw the correlation between the saints and precious stones. Now tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to look at the last statement in verse 17. and I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Amen. And I call that the promised treatment of the devoted, promoted son. Amen. The promised treatment of the devoted, promoted son. Amen. There is consistent testimony throughout the Bible, Old Testament in particular, and especially the prophet Malachi, consistent testimony that there is coming a day of judgment. Maybe we're called morbid because we constantly think about the fact that judgment's coming. Maybe we're called doom and gloom, but I'm telling you, I don't feel doom and gloom in my soul tonight. Amen. I don't feel a bit morbid in my heart. Amen. Thinking about the fact judgment is coming. Amen. But it's not just God dealing in judgment with the sinners, but it's God dealing in justice with the saints. Amen. And bringing the justice, amen, that is due to those that He has bought with His own blood. Amen. And we know that God is a merciful God. God's a gracious God. And yet one day, if I could say it this way, one day His mercy will expire. One day the date will run out. Amen. Expiration date will be over and the wrath of God will be revealed against sinners. By the way, you know why they put expiration dates on most things? They're required to do it, and that's why they put it on just about everything. But most reason they put expiration date on, let's say you bought a product, and that product has an expiration date. The reason is because there is corruption inside that package. Whether you've ever opened it or not, amen, no matter, there is corruption inside that package, and that corruption is working, and after that date, that corruption may have reached a point that it will bother you, it will affect you, make you sick. That's why they say that. I'm telling you, this world is rotten to the core, and the date's running out on it. It's not that God's going to make it rotten. They are rotten, and He's going to show their rottenness one day. Amen. He's going to take the lid off this thing. Thank God we're getting out of here. But the corruption of this world is going to overflow and the judgment wrath of God is going to be revealed against sinners. Amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And God's talking about a group of people, really talking about the world over, a group of people that are treasuring up the wrath of God. They are hoarding up the wrath of God. They are adding to already, building up and just banking back the wrath of God in their life. Galatians chapter number 6, we know verse 7 and 8 very well. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." By the way, you'll never be mocked. Amen. "God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Amen. "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Amen. Malachi chapter 3, look back at verse number 2, if you will. I read verses 1, verse 1 of chapter 3. Look at verse 2. "But who may abide the day of His coming?" This is talking about the judgment now. "Who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble." I know something about grass fields catching on fire. That stubble burns pretty quick. Amen. You're better off shaving that stubble. Say amen right there. Amen. I had to throw that in, Brother Steve. Amen. That might not have been for nobody else, but it's for him. Amen. But let me read that verse again. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, that all that do wickedly shall be stubborn." Here's the phrase. "And the day that cometh shall burn them up." saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, God is going to wipe the plate. God's going to clean the dish. God's going to clean off this earth one of these days, amen, from all the wickedness and all the ungodliness that's here in this day. Amen. And I'm glad he said it will burn them. I underlined that phrase. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. Amen. I'm glad I'm not part of them. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in that in crowd. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of another crowd. I'm of that crowd that he said, I will make up my jewels. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of them by the grace of God. Amen. I'm sure we all know many, many verses about the judgment of God. The judgment of God is coming against sinners. It would take volumes. It'd take page after page after page just to show you some of the judgment of God. But I want to take a few moments and we're going to look at several verses in the Bible that talk about that particular day. One special day when judgment comes upon the earth. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 6. This is the last book of the New Testament, the last book of the Bible. God sealing it up after the book of Revelation was written, I believe. No new prophecies, amen. No new word from God, amen. Revelation, we got the complete Bible with the book of Revelation. Here's what God said there at the end, Revelation chapter 6, verses number 14 down through the remainder of the chapter. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now underline verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? You recognize that phrase, don't you, from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2. The last book of the Old Testament said, who's going to be able to stand when he comes? The last book of the New Testament said, who's going to be able to stand when he comes? Turn back in your Bible to Job chapter number 21. Job chapter 21. By the way, Job is thought by most to be the oldest book of the Bible. It does not predate Genesis as far as the occurrences, but its writing probably predates the book of Genesis. Job lived more than likely before Moses, before even Abraham or any of those men. And we've got several reasons to think that, and I may talk to you about that after service if you'd like. I don't have my facts in front of me, but I think I could think of several reasons that I could explain that to you. But Job chapter 21 and verse number 17, Job chapter 21, and verse number 17. Now, you know, let me say this before I read my text. You know, the book of Job is a writing of several statements by different men. This happens to be a statement of Job. Now, all the statements that these men made or make are not necessarily inspired in themselves, but they were preserved for us by God in our inspired Bible. So I want you to notice this statement. Job chapter 21 and verse number 17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? Can you get the scenery there? Can you see that plainly? How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? You know what he's talking about? Snuffing out the candle. He's talking about how quickly sinners die. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them. God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind. Again, that reminds me of what the Bible said in Malachi. Amen. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm shall carry away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. You see that? Amen. And so he's talking about this wicked man is going to see his destruction. This wicked man's going to see it on his own children. This wicked man's going to see it coming on himself. And he said he is going to drink of the cup of the Almighty. Amen. And so the teaching there is that God is bringing judgment. Now turn over past the poetical books to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 24. And this is the first major prophet. And let me read you what he says. There's a couple of places I want to read in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24. I'm just laying the groundwork that judgment is coming. All right. Chapter 24, verses 1 through 3 of the book of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken the word. Now God said one of these days he's bringing judgment. And he said it don't matter if you're rich or poor, the judgment's coming. It don't matter if you're lending or borrowing, the judgment's coming. All right. In Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 34. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He shall utterly destroy them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out. In other words, not buried, just thrown out. And their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall melt with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. By the way, that's what Revelation said. Heavens are going to roll together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now Zion is speaking of Israel. God said, I'm sick and tired of them making fun of Israel. God saying, I am tired of them constantly fighting against Israel. By the way, one man made this statement one day this week. I was listening to a program and it made a lot of sense. He said, if God is through with Israel, why is not the devil through with Israel? Why is the devil still fighting Israel on every front if God doesn't have anything left for Israel? That's a pretty good point. Amen. The reason the devil hates Israel, because the devil hates God. The only reason the devil cares anything about you or me is because he hates God. Amen. Really? That's the only reason. But the day of the Lord's vengeance, he said, the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now, if you can find it, a little book of Joel in the New Testament, one of the minor prophets, little book of Joel, chapter number 3. It's right after the book of Hosea. Daniel, you go down through there, Hosea, Joel, all right? Joel is a prophetic book. It's a book of judgment, all right? Joel chapter number 9, chapter number 3, verse number 9. Joel chapter number 3, verse number 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. Now that's backwards from the way we're used to hearing it. Amen. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, we hear talk about when Jesus comes, they're going to beat their swords into plowshares. Make war no more. But this is talking about when He comes in judgment. This is not when He comes to bring peace. This is not the millennial kingdom that He's setting up. This is when He's cleaning off the field. And He said, you better have some weapons because you're going to face a fight like you've never seen before. That's what He's talking about to the world. All right. That was verse number 9. Verse number 10. Look at verse 11. Assemble yourselves. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day, here it is, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, what I'm saying, I'm talking about one specific day when God brings judgment. All right? If you'll turn to the book of Nahum, I'm almost through having you turn. Just keep turning the pages, you'll find these little books. Get to Micah, you're almost there. You'll find Nahum, another one of the minor prophets, but he's dealing with judgment. Judgment of the world, not just judgment of the saints, but judgment of the world. Nahum chapter 1. And really verse 1 gives you who wrote it, what it's about. Look at verse number 2. Nahum chapter 1, verse number 2. Now read through verse 6. God is jealous. Wait just a minute. Let me say, oh, the world says God's a God of love. God will never bring wrath. Brother Steve talking about reading after some fella that was talking about that about God's wrath being angry is waxing hot against Israel. And he said, God's just love, just a big ball of love. Listen, I'm telling you, God is angry with the wicked. Amen. Every day, the Bible said, amen. God is angry with the wicked. One of these days, His love is going to be set aside and He's going to deal correctly, righteously, but He's going to deal in righteous judgment. All right, let me get back and try to read it. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries. And He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm and the clouds of the dust. And the clouds are the dust of His feet. I'm going to stop just a minute. I quoted that verse Wednesday night in my message about how God controls the wind. God controls His own anger. All right. This verse is talking about God's controlled it, and now it's time for Him to unleash it on this world. Look at verse number 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at Him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at His presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand? You see that phrase again. Who can stand before His indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. I'm talking about this is picked pictorial language. It is picturesque language that paints a horrible picture, a scene that is so scary that I'm telling you, Hollywood could never compare and paint a picture as powerful as this is. And by the way, it will not be theatrical events. It will be reality happening. The rocks will actually break. The mountains will actually melt. Amen. I'm telling you, the moon and stars melt away. I'm telling you, when God comes, His judgment is a furious thing and a fearful thing. Amen. What I've shown you is a good number of verses and references, but it's only a smattering, only a little sampling of what is available in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, to tell us that God is coming in judgment. He's moving in anger. Amen. It ought to help us see and remember that when God's judgment is poured out upon the earth, it will be a horrible and terrible day. Amen. But we should remember, God's wrath is not unjustified. Amen. Mankind has been storing up indignation. Amen. They've been storing up the wrath of God by their sin and by their rebellion. By the way, Daniel talked about it in his day. He said, not only have we sinned, but he said, our fathers sinned. Not only have we sinned and our fathers sinned, but he said, our fathers' fathers have sinned. He said, we've been storing up sin. We've been packing up sin. Now, listen, what he's saying is the debt is getting higher and higher, and the interest rate is growing more and more. And he said, it's come time for a payday. That's what he's saying. Amen. I think about what America owes. I heard a touch of it on the news as I was coming in, talking about how that one of the political candidates, I think Ben Carson's talking about, that we need to do something about paying down our national debt. I don't know how we can imagine it could ever be paid, to be honest with you. When you got into the trillions, it's phenomenal. We cannot think like that in that amount of number. But I'm telling you, the debt that America owes in money is not even a grain of sand compared to what the world owes God because of their sin. Are you listening to me? I'm saying our debt is so great that the judgment of God is bound to come upon it. Amen. God's coming to bring judgment. Think about the gathering storm clouds of God's wrath. Can't you see the skies darkening rapidly? The thunder, as it seems to roll across the horizon, even now. I think it is. When the floodgates open and the fury of God's wrath pours out on people, the Bible says they're going to be looking for a hiding place. They're going to run to the rocks and the mountains, and they're going to beg them to fall on them and to hide them from the face of the Lamb and the wrath of God, because the day of His terrible wrath has come. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But God's Word declares it will be too late for them. The mountains will move at His presence. Amen. They can't hide in the mountains. But our text in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, our text insinuates that some will have found a safe harbor from the storm. Some will be hidden away from the indignation. Amen. Some will be hidden away from the terror and the fury of the wrath of God. I'm telling you what I've read. I don't know this in person. I've never experienced it. But they say that in a hurricane, when the winds are blowing so powerful and the storm's raging so strong, that in the center of that hurricane, they call it in the eye of the storm, that in that eye is calm and tranquility and peacefulness. I'm telling you, when the storm's raging out there, I will be in the I Am. Amen. I will be hidden in Him. And though the storms rage on the world, I'm glad according to the Scripture, some will be spared. Some will have found a safe harbor from the storm. Amen. Instead of being slaughtered, we'll be spared according to the text. Amen. And I will spare them. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. I'm not going to make you turn back to the book of Habakkuk. I can read it quicker than you can probably find it. Now, I'm not mocking to that. I'm just saying it's a small little book. We don't read those books very often. But I've got three verses about the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk foresaw the destruction of Jerusalem. He looked out and saw it on the horizon. He saw judgment on his way. By the way, what he saw was the Assyrians coming up. He saw the destruction of Israel coming. The first captivity, before even the Babylonian captivity, before the days of the Gentiles and Gentile power, starting with Babylon, came, he saw the Assyrian armies coming. And some say that Assyrian army is symbolic of the Antichrist and the coming of the Antichrist. But Habakkuk saw that on the horizon. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 12, he said, "Thou didst march through the land in indignation, and didst thresh the heathen in anger." Habakkuk saw the judgment coming and he knew it was the judgment of God. Although God was using a wicked nation, God was using a wicked king. That's where he talks about shaving with a borrowed razor. What he's talking about there is, and he's used the idea of whipping us, disciplining us with that razor strop. And he said, "I'll borrow that razor strop and I'll use it to deal in judgment with my children." All right? And so he said, "God, I saw the judgment coming and I looked at it. It was God walking through the land and he's bringing judgment. As he comes, he's moving through the land in indignation, and he's threshing the wheat," or he's threshing the heathen in his anger. All right. In chapter 3, verse 2, he said, "O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." He saw the wrath of God and he's saying, if God's going to deal that way with his own people, what hope has anybody else got? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinners appear? Amen. That's what he's saying. But in Habakkuk chapter number 3 and verse 16, here's a phrase I wish I'd had you turn and look at it now. But he said, "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Then he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops." The phrase in there that jumped out at me is, here's what Habakkuk said. In the middle of that, he talked about, "When I heard, my belly trembled." You ever heard something that about made you sick to your stomach? Made your stomach turn over? Just hearing it. That's what he said. "My belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones." His strength just melted. That's the idea that he's got there. "I trembled in myself," and here's my phrase, I underlined it, "that I might find rest in the day of trouble." He said, "God, I saw you coming in judgment, and I noticed that I was not in those being judged. I noticed that how in the world this could be. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? What is going on here that I might find rest in the time of judgment?" Amen. Amen. I'm glad that God said, in that day when I make up my jewels, he said, "I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him." Amen. Amen. He's saying here, the plea of the prophet, and that is the plea of the people of God, is that we might find a hiding place from the storm. Amen. That we might find safety in the time of judgment. Amen. That we might seek salvation from the condemnation that we know is appointed unto the world. We know it is deserved and we know it is appointed. Amen. Now, the people of Malachi's day, they were wondering if they had trusted God in vain. That's the context that we're looking at these verses. The context was, "Lord, have we trusted you in vain? Does it pay to serve God? Is it vain to serve God?" That's what they said in verse number 14 of Malachi chapter 3. "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance?" They were wondering if they had trusted God in vain. That's because their eyes could see no benefit in the world. But it's because they were looking too narrowly. I'm telling you, today it may look bleak for the Christian, but tomorrow the headlines might change. Amen. Yeah. Amen. When the sun comes up in the morning, just across the horizon, who knows what God's got prepared? I know what He's got prepared one day. Amen. And who knows how soon that day may come. Amen. And here God is displaying in our text that in that day when judgment comes, it will be clearly seen how important it is to trust God. How important it is to be trusting and hiding in Him. I thought about that song that I said the other day, sang the other night. My favorite song, "Rock of Ages." that was cleft for me. Here's what he said. Let me hide. Where's the hiding place? In thee. That's the only hiding place there is. The world can't hide in the rocks of this world. We'll have to hide in him, the rock that was cleft for us. Amen. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 verse 17. I'm back in my verse real quickly. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. This verse not only tells us what he will do, he said, I will spare them. Not only tells us when he will do it, he said, in that day when I make up my jewels. But he tells us why he will spare us in that day. Why? As a man spareth his own son. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You see, I failed to serve God perfectly as I should have. You've failed to serve God perfectly as you should have. But God had a son that served him perfectly. Amen. Amen. I did not do what I should have done, but God had a son that did do what I should have done. Amen. Amen. I should have faced the fury and the wrath of God. I should have faced God's full indignation because it was my sins. But God had a son that faced it. Amen. I could never endure such a thing, and yet God had a son who drank all the dregs of the cup of the wrath of God. Amen. He not only took my sin, he took my punishment for sin. Amen. He not only took my sin, he took my place as the sinner, hanged upon the tree. Cursed is he, any man that hangeth upon the tree. Amen. He became cursed that I might be saved by the grace of God. Amen. He took my place. They sing that song. I should have gone to Calvary. I should have suffered and died. But I'm glad he went to Calvary in my place. And he suffered and died in my place. And when I get there and I say, God, why did you spare me? He said, because of my son, I spare you like I'd spare my own son. Praise God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 real quickly. I've got two places we'll turn and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 18 through 21. By the way, I don't get tired of this kind of preaching. Amen. I am glad God has mercy on sinners. Amen. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. It's not works of righteousness which we have done, but because of His mercy. Amen. That He saved us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All right, that's not right. I've got that written down. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Let me find it. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. Let me turn over there and look. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. Second Corinthians 5, verse 18, and all things are of God. Here's the phrase I'm looking for. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to stop just a minute and I'm going to plug one thing real quickly before we read. I'm going to read some more verses here. I want to read down through verse 21. But before I do, I read, Brother Steve said this morning in Sunday school, talking about the emergent church, and about, he mentioned I'd been reading on it some. I finished that book I was reading on. And one of the men made this statement. I think it was Rod Bell that made the statement. He took this verse and turned it wrong side out. He said God had to reconcile himself to the world. He said God was out of the times. God was out of gear and had to get with it to understand us. He said that's why Jesus said, hey, that is perversion, buddy. That is blasphemy. God did not have to reconcile himself. He didn't need reconciling. We needed reconciling. Look at the verse. He said, who hath reconciled us to himself. Amen. In other words, we were going away from him and he had to draw us to him. Amen. He was going to have to cast us away because of our sin, and yet he wanted to draw us, so he had to deal with our sin in order to save us. All right. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us this, or the ministry of reconciliation, to wit. Here, in other words, this is how it was. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for He hath made Him, here it is, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Not that we knew no sin, but He knew no sin. For God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now there's a lot of teaching in 2 Corinthians 5:18 talking about us having the ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to go tell sinners that God wants them in the family, that God wants them to be one of the jewels. He's dealing with them, He's drawing them, He's digging for them, and He wants them in the family. That's our job of reconciliation. But He said the other side of that is what God did for us, not just what He's doing with us, but what God did for us. He said God took our iniquities and He placed them on His own Son. He didn't impute them to us, but He took them out of our account and He put them in His account. And He took His righteousness and placed His righteousness in our account. He had no sin in His account. We had no righteousness in ours. But He took our sin, placed them in His account, took His righteousness, placed it in our account. And because of that, we can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We can be part of God's own chosen people. Amen. Because of that, we can be spared. Why? Because God loves His Son, amen. And His Son died for us, amen. And God will spare us like His own Son. That's what He said. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm almost done. Romans 8. Back a couple of books. Romans chapter 8. One of the greatest books of the Bible. One of the greatest chapters. One man, I believe Brother Billy Parsons said, if the whole book of Romans was a ring, he said Romans 8:28 would be the jewel. Amen. I'm not looking at Romans 8:28. I'm looking at Romans 8:31. All right? You see in that same argument, same text, but I want you to see it. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? The judgment of God is coming. What are we going to say about it? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Amen. The statement that I want you to zero in on that, and he's talking about the judgment coming, and he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to notice he said, if God spared not His own Son. God said, I'm going to spare you like a man would spare his son. I'm going to spare you like a man would spare his son. But the only way He could spare us was if He didn't spare His own Son. He let Jesus die so He could let us live. If you can get a hold of that. He let Jesus die so He could let us live. In our bulletin, I've just pulled it out to look at it again. I put some verses in there for this morning. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. 2 Peter 2:4 is what that is. Verse 5 says, and spared not the old world, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Romans 11:21, for if God spared not the natural branches. Romans 8:32, and He spared not His own Son. But He said in Malachi 3:17, and I will spare them. What a God. Amen. what love, what mercy, what compassion, that God in mercy would spare us from the wrath of God. We deserved His wrath. We had heaped up His wrath unto us in the deserving end. But God in mercy allowed all our sins to be laid upon the back of His own darling Son. Amen. It's as if, you remember the story how that Abraham had Isaac and he had him up on that mountain and he had him, I don't know if he was tied down on that altar. I don't know if he had the tie. Personally, don't believe he did. I believe Isaac was so submitted to his daddy. Isaac was so surrendered to his father's will that if his father said, lay down on that altar, son, Isaac said, yes, sir. That's what I believe. Isaac's that much a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe God had to force Jesus to the cross. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. Amen. Isaac's on that altar. Abraham's got his knife drawn back. I don't believe Isaac's trying to hold off the knife. Isaac's waiting. I don't know, maybe with bated breath. I don't know what he's doing. But Isaac's waiting for the knife to plunge in his own heart. And God said, hold on a minute, Abraham. There's a ram in the bush. Amen. What he said was, I've got a ram over there waiting to be slain. And your son can be spared. I'm glad God looked on Calvary and said, I have provided a lamb. And you can be spared from the judgment of God if you'll trust in that lamb. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you ever sought for a hiding place? You can find it in the Lord Jesus. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We get ready to pray and get ready to sing. While they come with a song. Heavenly Father, I love You, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord, for the good, sweet spirit that's been here all day. We came back tonight to find that You are still here, Lord. And in the songs the lady sang, the songs of the congregation, Lord, You stirred our heart again. But in the Scripture, when we remembered how much You love us, when we recognize, Lord, that You love us like Your own Son. We didn't serve You well, but You had a Son that did serve You well. So You're going to spare us like as a man would spare his own son that serveth Him. Father, I pray draw sinners. I pray, dear God, bring them to a place of conviction and faith, repentance and faith. Bring them to a place where they'll call on God and find that hiding place. Lord, move in our midst. Help us to serve You and please You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come. 163. While we sing, if you need to come, come on.